this morning comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, there will be dismay among nations in their confusion over the roaring of the sea and surging waves. The planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaken, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Then they will see the human one coming on a cloud with power and great splendor. Now, when these things begin to happen, stand up straight and raise your heads because your redemption is near. Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that God's kingdom is near. I assure you that this generation won't pass away until everything has happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass away. Take care that your hearts aren't dulled by drinking parties, drunkenness, and the anxieties of day-to-day life. Don't let that day fall upon you unexpectedly like a trap. It will come upon everyone who lives on the face of the whole earth. Stay alert at all times, praying that you are strong enough to escape everything that is about to happen and to stand before the human one. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's good to be with you all again this morning. For those of you all who don't know me, I am Nate Abrams. I'm Joy's husband. And every now and then I get the privilege of preaching for you all, and I'm happy to be with you this morning. If you would, pray with me for just a moment. Oh Lord of light, we pray that you will be with us here this morning. Speak your words into this space that we may hear and understand and go out and act and be your people in this world. Bless these words that are going to go forward, that they will be exactly what we need to hear, that your people may continue to be your people in this world. We ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Good grief. What a way to start the Christmas season. What a way to start Advent. Today is the first day of Advent, as Joya mentioned. Right now, we're supposed to be all happy and festive, anticipating the birth of Jesus. We're supposed to be singing hallelujahs and basking in the light of angels and listening to carols about silent nights and sweet babies and mangers. Instead, we get this, a text about what seems to be the end of the world. Instead of angels we have heard on high, we get a prophecy about war and about violence. Instead of Mary's little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, we get the human one coming on a cloud wrapped in power and great splendor. What on earth does all this doom and gloom have to do with Christmas? What does it have to do with Advent? So let me have a show of hands. Who knows what Advent is? You don't have to have a textbook definition, just do you have a vague idea? Okay. Well, the Methodist, United Methodist website has this to say about Advent. It says, during Advent, we prepare for and anticipate the coming of Christ. We remember the longing of the Jews for a Messiah and our own longing for and need of forgiveness, salvation, and new beginning. Even as we look back and celebrate the birth of Jesus in a humble stable in Bethlehem, we also look forward, anticipating the second coming of Christ as the fulfillment of all that was promised. There's a lot in that definition. Advent is a time of preparation and anticipation. It's a period of transition and of new beginnings. It's a time of hope. Advent, with its candles and its carols, with its wreaths and with its light, reminds us of the hope that we have in the one who came to offer salvation. Advent is a reminder that change came once, and it will come again. There's an old and decidedly un-Christmas song by the soul artist Curtis Mayfield. It goes, and I will not sing, I promise. It goes, people get ready. There's a train a-coming. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. Now, this song was released in 1965 at the height of the Civil Rights Movement. And the changes that came about in American society in that period were difficult. There was a lot of violence, there were riots. Cities very literally burned. I'm sure that there were many who thought that they were living through days of punishment, to echo our text. Change is hard. The fall of one order and the rise of the next is frightening to those who have to live through the transition. And I have to admit that when I read this text in anticipation of today, I couldn't help but think that this all sounds like right now. Many feel surrounded and assailed by outside forces, and they want to hide behind walls or curtains of tear gas to keep the invaders out. There is dismay in many cities and nations as the seas rise and weather worsens. I was reading an article recently about the wildfires in California that have caused so much damage, and one of the officials out there said that there used to be a fire season in California, but now the fires are bigger and they're more difficult to fight, and they're fighting them year round. Many, and I include myself in that number, worry about what kind of world our children are inheriting. And I've heard other couples talk seriously about not even having children out of fear about what our world is becoming. When we look at the events of our time, we have to conclude that something's happening. Something is changing. It is not just an environmental change or a political change. Something deeply spiritual is happening these days. Something is moving and changing our world, and we are caught up in it. We can't avoid it. We can't hide from it. We can't throw up walls or stockpile weapons and hope to keep the change out. So what do we do? How do we cope with the turmoil that seems ready to engulf us at any moment? Well, fortunately, this dismal and gloomy text offers us a little bit of help. The first thing that it tells us, and perhaps the most important thing, is to have hope. This is one of the apocalyptic texts in the Bible, and there's several of them. And these texts were written to give frightened and suffering people hope. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament was written to the Israelites who were exiled in Babylon at the time. Here in Luke today, the people were subject to the Roman Empire. The book of Revelation was written to the early church, to several early churches who were also coping with the repression of the Roman state. You see, people who are going through trying times need to know that there is something beyond what they're presently dealing with. They need to know that God is still in charge. And if these texts are frightening, it's because they acknowledge the full reality of what's happening. They don't sugarcoat it. They tell the people that they are going to suffer. They tell them that they are going to have to deal with some things that they'd rather not deal with. But they also tell the people that God is with them, that God will shepherd them through the ordeal, and that in the end, God will meet those who endured, and he will meet them with love and with grace. And our text today is no different. Yes, we have to go through this mess. But God wins in the end. The human one, and that's Jesus, he does return, and he comes with power. When these things begin to happen, verse 28 begins, stand up straight and raise your heads, because your redemption is near. The two verbs that you heard there, stand up and raise your heads, they're not based in fear. They're not even based in bravery. In the Greek, they both have to do with rising in joy and in exultation. Yes, the text says, it's bad, but Jesus is near. Our salvation, our redemption, our reunion with the one who came to save us all, it's near. Get up. Go meet it. Our response to the badness in the world should be to stand tall and to proclaim the grace and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns even when everything seems dark and dangerous. This message of hope is reinforced in the parable that Jesus tells toward the end of the text. He says to look at the fig tree. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is near. In the same way, you know that God's kingdom is near. It is bad, y'all. It's real bad. I mean, just look at what's happening on our southern border. Look at the ongoing wars in Yemen and Syria. Look at the earthquake just the other day in Alaska. Look even right here in Decatur this past week with the school lockdown. It is bad. But we are not alone. If we look closely, we can see the leaves sprouting. We can see God peeking through in the heroic and the compassionate actions of relief workers and of teachers. We can see it in the presence of pastors, and yes, we could even see it in a few politicians. We are not forsaken. God is still at work, and we don't have to deal with this mess all by ourselves. Have hope. And look for God at work. Finally, our text tells us to remain vigilant. In the same way that it instructs us to stand and lift our heads and look for Jesus, it tells us to be active through these trying times. Vigilance is not a passive exercise. We are not called to simply sit and lament the state of the world or to medicate ourselves against us. Drunkenness is not the answer, like our text tells us, and neither are Facebook and Instagram. I'll say it again. It is bad, but don't retreat from that badness. Stand and stay alert for God. And when you see God at work moving and changing and transforming things, jump in and help. Go and vote or run for office. Donate to a worthy cause. But it also doesn't have to be that big. Keep your joy. Color picture. Play with your children. Play with the neighbor's children. Just keep your hope. We have no guarantee that Jesus is returning anytime soon. But if tomorrow's the day, or next week, or next decade, whenever he shows up, riding in the clouds, he should find us with our heads up and our eyes open, full of hope in him, and doing our best to advance God's reign here on earth. So people, get ready. Jesus came before as a little baby, and he will return again. All you need is faith to know that the Savior is coming. You don't need no ticket. You just stand and you thank the Lord. Amen.